The sun rises behind the Earth. Shafts of bright light shoot up from the surface of the planet and pulsate as it spins in space. In white lettering, the name Universal encircles the center of the globe. www.universalstudios.com. A drop of water falls into a dark pool. In the rippling surface, the words Imagine Entertainment appear. An animated hand reaches down and dips a finger into the pool. Bright blue ripples spread across the blackness, then merge together. A cheeky-faced monkey appears reflected in the pool, watching bubbles rise out of it. One pops on his nose. The monkey jumps off a lily pad and splashes into the water, swirling up from a mass of yellow bubbles, the title Curious George.
Who's to say?
The monkey, George, swims underwater, holding his breath. Dozens of bubbles drift upwards, each reflecting his cute face. They're coming from a hippopotamus and her baby, who are asleep on the lake floor. George floats down and puts his hands over the mummy hippo's nostrils. George is thrown back onto land. He spots a large egg on the bank, then looks up at a bird's nest in a tree. George scampers up to the nest and places the egg next to two much smaller ones. George falls from the tree as the mummy bird flies back. He hangs from a creeper. Two baby birds hatch out of the smaller eggs. A baby crocodile pops out of the third. George catches him as he drops from the nest. The baby croc's mum appears. George rolls backwards into a bush. George blows on a leaf sticking out of his mouth and it makes a noise. He notices a pride of lions asleep on a rock nearby. Now they've got leaves in their mouths too. One of the lions wakes. Brown-furred George runs into a clearing in the jungle and stops as he sees a chameleon sitting on a boulder, changing colour from green to brown. George hurries off and comes back with a young blue hippo, a pink flamingo, a teal blue baby crocodile, a zebra and a golden lion cub. The chameleon takes on each of their colours as they pass by. As the animals run around the stone, the flashing chameleon becomes dizzy and falls off it. George swings through the jungle following a yellow butterfly. A red fruit falls on his head. It breaks open and its sticky red goo covers his hands. George smiles. Later, dozens of handprints cover a huge rock, creating pictures. George accidentally slaps the paint onto an elephant's bottom. The animals laugh. George uses the zebra's tail to paint stripes onto the elephant. The youngsters look up as a bigger animal steps up to them. An adult elephant, zebra and cheetah glower down at them. George looks sheepish and hides the fruit behind his back. His friends walk sadly away. The adult elephant frowns at George. The young elephant looks up to see a smiley face painted on its parents' behind. It giggles. George's shoulders slump as the bigger elephant picks up the youngster and carries it away, leaving George all on his own. He bounds up a nearby tree where a heap of leaves have collected on a thick bough. George jumps up and shakes a leafy branch hanging above it. More leaves float down onto the pile. George steps into the nest of leaves, curls up, and goes to sleep. The golden sun bathing the jungle in dusky amber light. In a city museum, a man addresses a group of children.
Now, as I was saying, life was a constant struggle for survival. Australopithecus had no time to enjoy himself because around every corner was danger.
A dummy's head.
It wasn't until an amazing discovery that man was able to take time and enjoy life. And why was that? What made Og and Grog's life so much better?
A video game?
No.
The internet?
No.
A rocket slide?
A mountain of chocolate?
Star stickers?
No, look. No, that wasn't a real question. That's right. Fire! Whoa, huh? Look at that. Impressive, huh?
Why do we have to come to this boring museum every single week?
It's not boring. It's very interesting.
This led to hot dinners. Eventually became the microwave. Ow!
Oh, no.
Ow!
He burns his fingers.
Fire's hot. Yes. Where was I?
Hey,
is that a real spear?
Can we play with it?
Kids, a museum is a place where we observe. We don't play.
Children, be polite.
Lunchtime!
Yeah, lunchtime? It's only 9 a.m.
Buddy system, stay with your buddies.
Huh?
Oh, well, each kid has a buddy, so they can all keep track of each other. Everyone needs a partner, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm not following.
She shrugs coyly.
Lungfish!
Oh, excuse me?
Next Thursday, I'm going to talk to your class about the lungfish, the closest living relative of the tetrapods. It's pretty great.
Oh, I look forward to hearing it. You know I look forward to all your Thursday lectures. I wish today was Thursday. Oh, I know that it's Thursday.
Don't worry.
When it's not.
It's not a big deal.
I wish it was. Here. I should go catch up to my lungfish. I'm in class. Way to go, Maggie. Way to go.
I'll see you next week, Ms. Dunlop.
Maggie Dunlop goes.
Oh, how embarrassing.
An old man.
Ted?
Mr. Bloomsbury.
Walk with me, Ted. I'm afraid that Og and Grog, all of our friends here, they're just not bringing in the crowds like they used to.
What do you mean?
It breaks my heart, but I have to sell the museum. We're broke.
Broke? Mr. Bloomsbury, the museum can't close.
I have no choice, Ted. Museum attendance is down. No one's buying anything from the gift shop.
Even the glow-in-the-dark star stickers?
Even the glow-in-the-dark star stickers.
Man, I love those. I especially love the Milky Way. Wait! What'll happen to the museum?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Junior?
It'll be torn down and a parking lot put in its place, with high hourly rates and no daily maximums. Ka-ching.
The world doesn't need another parking lot. The world needs a place where kids' brains can grow.
Exactly. That's why I'm thinking they can grow trying to count all the spaces in the new parking lot. Come on, how fun is that?
He's not serious, is he?
Well,
it's time, Father. We're not going to get a better offer.
I know.
Wait.
Huh?
What if we did something? What if we got an amazing new exhibit?
You know, Ted, you need to worry about finding an amazing new job.
Well, hold on, Junior.
But I was just trying. Oh, great.
Ted, if you have an idea, now's the time to speak up. What exhibit?
Yes, what exhibit?
It's the,
Yes?
The famous.
Uh-huh.
And...
Yes?
And rare.
Yes?
Of course.
Yes?
The incredible...
Come on.
Spit it out.
Don't be shy, Ted. Come on.
What about the lost Shrine of Zagawa?
My goodness.
I'm sorry, the lost... You lost me at the lost.
It's an ancient idol. 20 tons of granite, carved by 1,000 craftsmen over 100 years. I had all the charts ready. I was all set to go to Africa when something happened. Slipped my mind.
Hello?
Huh?
How about the birth of your only son? That would be me.
Yes. Then I begin another adventure. Raising Junior.
Well, now that that's done, you can finally finish what you've started, which is bringing home
the Lost Shrine of Zagawa.
You'll put this museum on the map.
I'll need a team of 10 men.
Oh, at least 10.
It's a 4-day hike into the jungle.
You go, girl.
Whoa.
I mean, sir.
We'll be cutting through heavy brush for 12 hours a day.
Look out. Here comes the Bloomsbury Express.
Yes.
Next stop,
yes.
Archaeological fame and fortune.
I'm going to discover the Lost Shrine of Zagawa.
He spins.
A little help here.
Hey, watch it!
Mr. Bloomsbury, machete in hand, falls backwards off the desk.
I forgot something. I am really, really old.
Can I have the Bloomsbury Express pull into the reality station and sign here, initial here? Nope, not there.
Wait! I guess I could go.
He turns away.
Did I just say that? I can't do that. I don't even ride the bus. Maybe they didn't hear me. I'm sorry, sir. You were saying?
Excellent idea, Ted.
He did hear me.
Him? You've got to be kidding me. Ted is not an explorer.
He raises a good point.
Nonsense. With my maps and my journals, a 6-year-old could find the shrine.
Thank you, I think.
Come on, let's get you ready for your big adventure. Now, Ted, the journal won't take you right to the idol.
It won't?
No, you have to use your instincts.
About that, sir, I don't have any.
Don't be silly, it'll be fun.
Junior looks over at a smiling photo of Mr. Bloomsbury and Ted. He scowls and looks at the map.
Sorry, Ted.
He tears a page out.
But that's as close as you're ever going to get to the precious lost shrine of Zagawa. Why does my father like you best? It's not fair. I've got the ponytails.
A dummy in a safari shirt and hat stands in a shop window. Ted walks up to it.
Okay, Ted, trick is to look like you know what you're doing. Now, where's the door?
Yellow. 6 dozen yellow suits? Tony, what are you, Goofy? We can't sell these things.
Hey, me, Goofy? Forget about it. Big guy says move them, we move them.
Oh, yeah, sure. But what kind of meatball would buy these?
Excuse me. I'm here to be professionally outfitted for a jungle expedition.
Showtime. Good day, mate. You've stepped in the right place. Isn't that right, Nigel?
I'll say it is, Steve-O. Finally, a real adventurer to suit up.
So, do you like the color yellow?
Yellow?
Yeah, what are you, Goofy? Yellow's the new khaki. Mate?
Really? Well, okay.
You gotta be kidding!
On a ship, Ted's khaki-clad team laugh at his outfit.
The new khaki. Thank you! Thank you very much! I look like an idiot!
The pages of Mr. Bloomsbury's journal turn. A map shows the boat travelling across the Atlantic towards Africa. Ted and his team walk through the jungle with their guide.
Edo.
Yes, sir?
Don't worry the other men, but we're hopelessly lost.
Sir, your book is upside down.
Oh, good catch. Carry on.
Thank you, sir.
They see George's hand paintings.
That's gantress.
Ted walks straight past.
Look at the color.
Edu, do you see this?
Yes, it's
exciting! We are so close!
George is sitting in a tree.
Edu?
Mr. Ted?
It says here Zagawa means enlightenment.
I know, sir. I live here.
Right. Did you know the statue we're looking for is a giant monkey?
Yes, sir. I live here.
Right again. Oh! A rhino!
Sir?
Stand aside, man.
Mr. Ted?
The tranquilizer gun. I'm just gonna put him to sleep.
That's not a rhino, that's a...
It's a rock.
Nice shot, Mr. Ted.
The dart bounces off the rock and hits Edu.
Oops. Okay. Let's break for lunch. For the next 4 to 6 hours. Or longer, depending on how much he weighs.
Ted makes himself a sandwich.
I should probably make a sandwich for Edu. He'll have quite an appetite. And a headache when he wakes up.
George sees Ted's hat.
This is really good.
As Ted takes a bite out of his sandwich, his tall yellow hat is lifted off his head. George tries to eat it.
Hey!
Ted looks up at George.
Oh, a monkey. Hey there, little guy. Can I have my hat, please?
George smiles.
I kind of need my hat. Sun's hot and I freckle. Not the good kind either. I blotch. So please, my hat?
George looks at the hat.
Uh-huh. That's the one, all right.
George jumps down with the hat, using it like a parachute. He lands on the ground and hides under it.
Hello? Anybody in there?
George thinks.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo.
Ted peeks under the brim.
Peek-a-boo.
A-boo. A-boo.
Wow, look at that. A monkey who likes to play peek-a-boo.
He strokes his head.
Hey, this was fun, my little friend, but sorry, I gotta go.
George looks sad as Ted walks away.
I wonder if Edu's up yet.
George jumps on Ted and steals his hat.
Hey, come back here!
George runs around with the hat.
Oh. You can run, but you can't hide. I'll catch up. I am unstoppable.
Uh-huh. Ted chases George around a tree.
That's right. I can run all night. All day and all night. There's nothing that can stop me. Cramp! Ow, cramp! Cramp can stop me. Why the cramp? Extra bad cramp, too. Oh. Ow! What?
Ted lies down on the ground. George looks down at him curiously, then smiles. Ted sits up.
Okay, I have an idea. We'll trade. Sandwich for the hat. On three. 1, 2, 3!
They both have hold of the hat and the sandwich.
We're not really making any progress here.
Ted suddenly lets go and slaps the sandwich on his head.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Ted's face falls as he sees George wearing the hat. George hands it back and Ted gives him the sandwich. He puts it on his head. Later, Ted leads his team through the jungle.
191, 192, 193, 194.
He looks down at George.
Not now, monkey. 196, 197, 190 monkey, 199, 200.
He turns the page.
Okay. Look for 2 Mafuti bushes, and you will find X.
There, sir. Mafuti is.
Good eye, Edu.
something.
Here, hold this.
Ted looks through binoculars. The bushes are parted to reveal a red statue of a monkey.
There it is. It's awesome. It's spectacular. It's...
It falls over.
Gone?
It's actually tiny.
What? This can't be it.
Did you find it, sir?
It's supposed to be huge. That isn't huge, okay? That's the opposite of huge. I need the giant monkey.
Who knew it was actual size?
Wait, this looks like ancient Swatabi. Turn your eye to the light. Go from blindness to sight. That's a clue. Turn your eye to the light. All right, I'm looking directly into the sun. It's very bright. It's starting to sting. I'm not gonna lie to you. Okay, now it's burning. And it's continuing. Oh, it sticks my cornea. Oh, I'm blind.
He dances around in pain. George dances too.
Okay, water. H2O. Just a little liquid refreshment, please.
Oh, Edu gives him water.
Oh, sweet relief. Thank you, Edu. Edu.
All right, man. Let's pick it up.
I'll be over here until my vision returns. Oh, I traveled 10,000 miles for a paperweight? Oh, what am I going to tell Mr. Bloomsbury? Huh?
Ted pulls out his mobile phone.
Bloomsbury? Wow, strong signal. Hello?
Ted, it's me. Have you found it yet?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, that's great. Is it gigantic?
Well, there is a size issue, sir. I'll send you a photo so you can see for yourself.
I can't wait.
Do you see it, sir?
I do.
Oh, sir, are you crying?
It's supposed to be 40 feet tall.
I'll explain it all when I get back.
No need to. I can see it right here.
It looks huge in the photo.
I can't believe it. Do you see that, Junior? It's even bigger than I ever imagined.
Well, that's impossible. I can't believe he... Hooray! We're saved.
In the jungle...
Mr. Ted! Time to go.
George is in the tree and reaches down and steals Ted's hat again. Ted looks up and George plays peekaboo.
You know what? Keep the hat.
Ted walks off and George looks glum.
Hey, don't look so sad. It's the new khaki. It's true. Bye.
Ted walks off through the tall grass. George jumps down and looks through the long grass to see a jeep driving away. Still holding Ted's hat, George smiles and runs after the jeep. He swings on vines and jumps from tree to tree.
Edu, I can't find a seatbelt. Would that be a problem?
Not for me.
Edu, it's okay to use the brake.
Oh, relax. I wanna be
where the taco. The jeep trundles along the jungle track and arrives at a jetty where a big ship is being loaded with cargo. George swings towards the jetty on hanging vines and sees Ted walking up the gangplank and getting into the ship. And the trouble I find is George grins and jumps onto some baskets being carried on a woman's head. Chickens jump out of the way as George scampers past them holding the bright yellow hat. The ship is gliding away as George runs across the top of some crates and tries to jump onto the ship. He falls into the sea but is pulled up on the anchor and climbs up the chain into the ship. Every time they cry, make the grass grow green. George jumps into the ship's cargo hold and looks up through a hatch in the roof to see Ted up on deck, practicing his speech.
Mr. Bloomsbury, I would just like to say in my defense that... Sir, when we set out...
George tries to jump up to the deck, but the hatch is closed, leaving him in the dark.
Sometimes they don't quite go as planned. I'm extra sorry. Oh, boy. Maybe I could just work on the ship. Be a deckhand or a chef.
Through a porthole, George sees Ted walking past. Ted goes into his gloomy cabin.
I'm so glad I upgraded.
Draws hit him.
Oh, the knee! Ah, there's the forehead. Oh, knee-forehead combo. Oh!
Down in the cargo hold, George hops off the crates and steps into a shaft of sunlight. He sees a large packing case with a shiny red button on it. George smiles at his reflection in the button, then presses it. The case bursts open and clothes fall out. George presses a red button to open a chest, then presses a red button on a forklift truck and reverses into some crates of fruit.
Oh,
fruit falls out and George licks his lips. In his cabin, Ted tries to open a packet of peanuts, but it bursts, spilling them all down a grill in the floor.
Oh, no! Not the honey roast of goodness! Oh, and there's the head again.
George now has a big, tubby belly as he sits among the fruit, eating a banana. He throws away the peel, then yawns and settles down to sleep. The ship sails through the night and approaches New York Harbor the following day. A couple of deckhands open the cargo hold.
It's a monkey with a hat!
I'll just go ahead and put that under miscellaneous.
George scampers across the deck and jumps onto the railing. He grins as he looks out at the huge skyscrapers of New York, then stares in wonder at a train speeding across a bridge and an aeroplane soaring through the sky. George looks down at the dock and sees Ted getting into a taxi.
Where are you going, Yellow?
Bloomsbury Museum. I'll give you $10 extra if you'll stop calling me Yellow.
You got it, Sunshine.
The taxi drives off and George jumps off the ship. Some boats are moored nearby and he jumps from mast to mast as he chases after the taxi. George slides down a railing and runs along the street after the taxi. He turns a corner, jumps onto the boot of a taxi and bangs on the back window. He hides under the hat as a woman in the back seat turns round. George plays peekaboo and she screams.
There's no screaming in cats!
George gets on the roof and sees hundreds of other taxis. In another taxi, Ted sees posters for the museum advertising the monkey statue.
Wait, what does that say? The Lost Shrine of Zagawa? Gigantic! Oh, that's not right at all! The shrine is 40 feet tall?
I know. That bad boy's a monster. I can't wait to see it. I'm taking the whole family.
Yeah, well, I hope you get seats up front.
Ted holds the real statue.
Yo, over here!
Get your head
out! George looks around at the noisy city streets, then looks through the windscreen of another taxi. A woman with lots of little dogs on leads is in the back. The dogs go crazy when they see George and almost cause an accident. In another taxi, the driver is talking to a couple in the back seat.
Yeah, sure. I've seen everything in this town. Oh, yeah, monkey? Seen it.
The couple take photographs of George and he rubs his eyes. Ted's hat blows away and George chases after it. He grabs the hat and ducks under a lorry that goes right over him. George jumps up onto the roof of another taxi.
I'm as lonely as I wanted to be.
Some large pipes are on the back of a lorry and George jumps into one of them. He looks frightened as he gazes out at the traffic jam. In Ted's taxi...
Construction. Of all the luck.
Oh, you know what, sir? I'll just get out right here. Right, this'll work. I'm just gonna go home, call Mr. Bloomsbury, and explain everything.
Sure.
Right?
Whatever. 12:50, pal.
Whoa, sorry.
Ted pays the driver and walks off.
Okay, I'm moving.
George sees Ted and jumps out of the pipe with a grin. Ted walks through the streets and George leaps up onto high ledges so he can keep an eye on Ted as he scampers after him. Ted crosses the road.
See me? Right.
A woman opens her windows and sees George as he jumps up onto the roof. George spots Ted walking into a large apartment building. Ted strolls into the lobby of the building and waves at a big guy in a green uniform.
Hey there, Ivan. Good talk. Take care.
Ivan has a bald head and a mustache and snarls gruffly. George runs across the road towards the building. Through the window, he sees Ted going up the building in a lift. George almost forgets Ted's hat, quickly puts it on. He scuttles towards the building and climbs up the outside. Ted looks tired as he walks into his apartment.
Oh, home.
George is still climbing. Ted flops onto his sofa.
Oh, okay, I just need 2 seconds of quiet.
He falls asleep.
All right, I didn't mean literally.
The caller ID says Bloomsbury. Uh-oh.
Hello?
Ted!
Hi, Mr. Bloomsbury. I just walked in the door.
Well, get down here. All the news reporters are here. I've arranged a press conference just for you.
You're the hero of the moment.
George looks through windows.
Oh, have you seen the surprise?
Hi, sir?
Look out your front window.
My window?
Yes, yes, take a look-see.
Okay.
You're really gonna like it.
Well, what do you think?
He's on a billboard.
I knew you'd love it.
George has dropped the hat, but catches it.
Ted, you deserved it. I don't know what I would have done. You single-handedly saved the museum.
Mr. Bloomsbury, I have to tell you something.
Yes, I'm all ears.
It's about...
Yes? What?
My hat?
Sure, wear your hat. Wear your best suit. Just get down here.
Uh-huh.
The hat's on the floor.
There can't be two hats like that.
In the lobby, Ivan sniffs.
Pet?
Beside him is a no pet sign. He looks at an air vent.
Pet.
My hat? My yellow hat? No. This can't be the same hat. Oh! It's the same hat! And the same monkey! Wait, you followed me all the way from Africa? To play peekaboo?
Ivan leans out of a lift and sniffs.
No.
He does the same on the next floor.
No again.
He keeps going up.
No. 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 Hold the phone.
No. I don't want to play peekaboo.
Open up, 710B. I know you're in there.
Ted grabs the hat, but George has gone.
Open the door.
Oh, no. Monkey.
Come on.
Monkey.
Open the door.
Where are you?
Ted wears the hat.
Oh, hi. Ivan.
I'm smelling pet.
Pet? No pet here. Can't have a pet. Wait, isn't there a no pet policy?
Yes.
Hey, you can't just barge in here. Apparently you can't.
Ivan sniffs the floor. Ted sees George in the chair.
Pet is close.
Ivan looks at the chair.
Aha!
What?
Nothing. Just practicing for when I find pet.
Ivan sniffs under the table and George swings in the light shade.
Monkey, no! Down! No!
Why you yell when I'm right next to you?
No reason.
Ivan opens the fridge.
Aha!
What?
Milk is sour. Don't drink.
Ted throws a book through the window to distract Ivan from George.
Bingo! Now move, please.
New game. Hide and seek.
Ted hides George in the bathroom.
Stay right there. Good monkey.
Ted puts his yellow hat on and goes. George looks around and sees the toilet roll beside him. He spins the roll and the toilet paper unravels until only the cardboard tube is left. George looks up at shelves of toilet rolls as Ted runs back to Ivan.
Did you hear something?
No.
How about that?
Nope. If you're asking, I didn't hear that either.
Move, sir.
Toilet rolls all over the bathroom.
Oh, that. I unroll it ahead of time. Helps when you're in a rush.
Where the pet? Where the... Can't find pet nowhere. Very strange. Nose does not lie.
He goes.
Well, that was fun. Next time we'll have to do it at your place, okay, Ivan?
The air vent's open.
Miss Plushbottom. Oh, no, that's trouble.
Monkey!
Oh, Mr. Monkey!
Ivan's at Ted's door.
If I find pet, you are evicted.
E-whatted?
Evicted!
Good to know.
Ted climbs onto the fire escape and nearly falls.
Oh, no. Oh, that's a big drop, Ted. Don't look down. Rickety's okay. Just as long as there's no wind.
Wind blows.
Sweet mother of science! Ah! Cramp! Cramp again! Cramp! Cramp! Darn that cramp!
Painters are at Miss Plushbottom's penthouse.
No! These are not the colors I wanted. I told you to match them to the city opera.
A picture of the opera hall.
They are the same colors, Miss Plushbottom.
They look like it. But do they sing to me? You are fired!
Hey, she fired us in song.
It still hurts.
And now I must have a soak.
Short, tubby and prim, Miss Plushbottom walks out of her white living room while George tumbles through the building's air vent pipes. He looks through a grill into Miss Plushbottom's penthouse and sees lots of cans of coloured paint. George pushes the grill open, jumps into the living room and swings on the chandelier. George jumps down onto a table, then scampers over to a speaker and holds his ear to it. The loud noise makes George shake and he steps into a tray of red paint. He puts his foot on the white carpet and makes a big red footprint. George looks at the cans of paint in all different colours and grins. He dunks his arms into a green pot and a red pot, then runs over to a white wall and slaps the paint onto it. Miss Plushbottom is soaking in her bubble bath with cucumber slices on her eyes. In the living room, George has painted trees, plants and a giraffe on the walls. Bubbles float in and George stares at one of them as it pops. He pops more bubbles with his feet, then catches one in his mouth. It bursts and he doesn't like the taste. George bursts more bubbles, then runs into the bathroom where Miss Plushbottom still has her eyes covered. George looks at all the bubbles in the bath and dips his finger in. The paint on his hand swirls into the bathwater and he dips both hands into the bath. Ted climbs up to the roof of the apartment building with three pigeons perched on his big yellow hat.
Okay, fellas, last stop. Everybody off.
He looks through the skylight into Miss Plushbottom's living room.
No paint? You gotta be kidding me. Who leaves 8 open cans of paint lying around?
Uh-oh. Ted falls through the skylight and lands in a black and white stripy chair. He sees George's painty footprints leading into the bathroom.
Of course he went in there.
He peeps in and sees Miss Plushbottom lying in the multicolored bubbles with cucumber slices on her eyes. George pours paint into the bath.
Oh, boy.
Ted crouches down.
Monkey, monkey, over here. Come, monkey. Come on. Monkey, peekaboo, peekaboo. Monkey.
George runs over to Ted. Miss Plushbottom wakes and takes off the cucumber slices.
Do yourself a favor. You're going to want to put the cucumbers back on.
He slams the door and Miss Plushbottom looks at all the paint.
I knew it! You are red-handed with pet.
And while we're on the subject, I think you have a serious pest problem in this building, Ivan. I mean, don't you spray for jungle animals every spring? I specifically remember such language in my lease. Let go. Not helping.
Look at my walls!
And you!
What?
You hired a monkey to paint your apartment. How do you sleep at night?
He is your monkey. Now what do you say?
Come on. That could be any guy in a yellow suit. Silk starch collar, black spotted tie.
Ivan!
That was fun. Bye-bye.
A door hits Ivan.
Sorry, my fault.
Ted runs past Miss Plushbottom.
Lovely apartment. Could we borrow your window? Gotta go.
He jumps on the fire escape.
You are no more 17B! You are kicked from building!
Just to be clear, the monkey's kicked, not me?
Get out!
Ted and George come down the fire escape ladder, but Ted gets his foot caught and ends up dangling upside down. George lifts up Ted's spotty tie.
What am I gonna do with you?
They cross the road.
Come on, we're almost at the museum. Act natural, try to blend in.
George sees a child hanging onto his dad's leg and does the same to Ted.
Come on.
They walk past a woman holding a baby. George sees the baby sucking its thumb, so sucks his thumb too. Ted pulls George's thumb out of his mouth and George pokes his thumb into Ted's mouth instead. George sits on Ted's shoulders and starts fiddling with Ted's hair.
Oh, that tickles. He's grooming me. Everyone's doing it. They're getting small monkeys and... never mind.
News vans are outside the museum.
Oh, I forgot all about them. Quick, monkey, this way.
They climb through a window into a gift shop full of ape statue souvenirs.
Oh, no! What have they done? These are cheesy. Ridiculous. Okay, that's kind of fun.
How much longer is this going to take?
Let's all be patient, please. Ted will be more than happy to answer all your questions regarding the giant idol.
Yes,
oh, boy.
Where is he?
Run, monkey, run!
He's on his way.
Quick, in here.
They hide in an office.
What am I gonna do? Oh, this is beyond bad.
George plays with the blinds.
Hey, monkey! Shh! Quiet! Monkey! I said quiet!
Well, we gave it a shot, didn't we? I mean, huge monkey statues. They come and go, but parking lots are forever.
Excuse me, would you please?
Oh, look who's back.
Junior looks out at Ted's window.
And he's wearing a yellow suit. What, is he officially the golden child now?
George finds a tribal mask.
Monkey, put that down. No.
Oh, I've got problems. Oh, do I have problems?
Glorious day. Ted has problems.
What am I going to do? What can I do? There's no way around it. I have to tell Mr. Bloomsbury the truth. The horrible...
Horrible?
Awful...
Awful?
Devastatingly crushing truth.
Devastatingly crushing?
His enormous idol looks like it came out of a cereal box.
Wow, that must be a huge box of cereal. Or...
it's only 3 inches tall!
Yes!
This is great! What a great day for parking lot! Whoa!
Junior falls off the ledge.
Oh, my body. Hey, a dollar.
George spins a globe.
Yeah, it spins. Fun, huh?
Oh, there you are. What's with that?
Clovis, I can explain.
I should hope so, because that is a lot of yellow for one man.
You see, it's... I thought you were colorblind.
I can see that. Oh, before I forget, here's a bill for my services.
$2,000? What's this for?
The exhibition stage for the Lost Shrine of Zagawa.
Mr. Bloomsbury?
Watch this.
Animatronic figures move on stage.
Behold the eighth wonder of the world!
Clovis whipped it up. Doesn't it take your breath away?
More than you know.
George looks at a fish tank. Inside is a model of the museum with a little dinosaur skeleton that pops out and growls. George growls back.
Okay, let's get down to business. Where's the shrine?
Ted puts down the tiny ape statue.
What's that?
Ted presses the remote control.
Behold the eighth wonder of the world!
But, Ted, that can't be the idol. I don't understand. We saw the picture. The statue's huge.
I'm sorry, sir, but it is. I've been trying to tell you. This is this.
The photo's on Ted's phone.
Oh, Ted, what are we going to do?
Okay, here he is, everybody. Right this way. Uh-oh. The man of the hour. Our hero. No pushing. We'll all get a chance. Hey, Ted. They can't wait for you to tell them about the massively gigantic, huge, enormous idol. Don't be shy. Right up there. Come on. Now's not the time for butterflies, Ted. Speak right into the mic. You're good. You checked that that's working, right? Louder.
Any questions?
Over here. Can you tell how old it is?
Sounded like old, but what she said was big. How big is it?
You know, I'm not sure about that.
In the office, George plays with the goldfish.
No, didn't have a problem on the boat thing. It fit nicely.
Excuse me, what was your first reaction when you saw the idol?
I was emotional. Teared up pretty much instantly.
Guys, let's focus here. We're here about the idol.
So, Ted, where is the idol now?
Yes, where is the idol?
It's close. It's very close.
What else we got? Come on, guys, fire away. Keep it coming.
Excuse me. Rumor has it the idol has magical powers. Is that true?
Yeah, well, now ask all depends. Where
it is. Was it difficult to find?
Is it made of solid gold?
And how big is the idol?
Are you going to write a book?
What about a movie, dear?
Oh, no, that's not a good idea.
It's not? Why?
Not the Apatosaurus, formerly known as the Brontosaurus.
Ted sees George climbing a dinosaur skeleton.
When you come back from the jungle.
Bad idea! Monkey!
Can we
monkey,
please get
no!
back to questions regarding...
The dinosaur's neck starts to break, and Ted runs
monkey,
over.
No!
Ted,
please,
Ted,
no!
Me, please.
No!
Ted, where is the idol?
Okay, careful, that's the linchpin to the whole left leg.
Ted catches some of the bones as the big skeleton starts to fall to pieces. George hides in the skeleton's head, and the whole thing collapses. Ted's stuck in the jaws of the skeleton and the reporters take photographs. Bloomsbury and Junior look at Ted.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
Ted tries to struggle free of the jaws.
Oh, Ted, we're doomed.
George peeps out from the skull.
What's a monkey doing here?
I guess we should just
take a
picture.
Junior sees Ted to the door.
Well, seriously, Ted, can't say you didn't try. I mean, you did bring back a monkey, just not one anyone cared about. Okay, bye-bye.
Hold on! You're locking me out?
Cabs are right behind you.
Ah, perfect.
George holds on to Ted's leg.
Oh, no. No, you don't. No, this is not gonna work. Here it is. Animal control. This better work.
Hello, Animal Control. How can I help you?
Yes, could you send someone over to the Bloomsbury Museum right away? We have a very dangerous monkey.
Describe dangerous, sir.
Oh, he's frothing at the mouth. He's got teeth like Ginzu knives and crazy eyes. He's a killer. Listen to this. Put that child down. Oh, the horror. I can't watch.
Sir, we just closed, but I can leave a message.
Well, what am I supposed to do with this monkey?
I'm sure I don't know. Thank you for calling the animal control hotline.
Hello?
George is on the phone box roof.
You down.
Ted comes out and crouches by a smiling George.
Okay, listen. I'm only watching you until tomorrow when Animal... Don't do that! Okay, maybe you're right. It's late. It's been a long day. I'm all out of ideas. What do you got?
George looks sleepy. Later, Ted's on a park bench.
Oh, this is great. This is a great idea. I'm so comfortable here. What are we lying on here? Is this goose down? Ooh, it's so comfy. No, this is a concrete park bench. That's what it is.
Ted lies on the bench.
Did I mention that it's a cold concrete bench? Very cold.
George scampers off. A few drops of rain fall onto Ted's face, and he sits up. The rain starts pouring down, and Ted gets soaked. He looks over at George, who climbs up into the leafy branches of a tree and shakes them.
Hey, shake all you want, monkey. There's no bananas in there. But if you find a 40-foot idol, let me know.
Ted puts on his yellow hat, which is full of water and drenches him. George drops out of the tree and gathers the fallen leaves into a pile. Ted rips down a poster for Sagawa, the giant ape statue, and uses it as a blanket.
Eighth wonder of the world, right. What a nightmare.
George has made a bed of leaves under the shelter of the tree. Meanwhile, rain soaks into the poster covering Ted and makes it go soft and squishy. Ted rips the poster off him, and George beckons to him, then pats the comfy-looking bed of leaves and mimes going to sleep. Ted stomps over to George.
Oh, no. No. Don't look so satisfied with yourself. The whole reason we're sleeping out here is because of you. I could be in my nice warm bed right now, showered, teeth brushed, instead of sleeping out in the cold with a monkey under the stars.
George turns Ted's face towards the beautiful starry sky.
Wow. Those glow-in-the-dark star stickers have nothing on this.
A glowing little bug flies towards them, and George looks curious.
That? Well, that's a firefly.
More fireflies with big glowing bottoms fly over and smile at George. George catches them in his hands and feet, then opens his hands to look at them. His face is lit up by the glow.
Ooh, good grab. Nice. Yep, they're still in there. Bright, huh? They're bioluminescent. Did you know that fireflies glow to remind us that they taste bitter? It's a defense mechanism.
George stuffs the fireflies into his mouth, then spits them out again. His tongue is now glowing.
Yeah. See? I told you.
George catches the fireflies again and offers them to Ted.
Oh, no. No. No, thanks. I'm good. Yep. You know, there's no way I'm going to eat that bug. So quit trying.
George stuffs them in Ted's mouth.
Oh, wow. Yep. That tastes bad. Definitely bitter. Oh.
Ted now has a glowing tongue, too, and George laughs. Ted looks at his tongue and laughs. Then he and George waggle their tongues at each other.
Okay. Oh, listen to this. I got a good one for you. What's the difference between Neanderthal man and Cro-Magnon man?
George yawns.
Linguistic competence and polychromatic cave paintings. Get it? Hello?
George is asleep.
You're missing the punchline. You see, it's the difference between the two. It's always a winner.
George has his head on Ted's leg and snores. The park is dark and quiet.
I need some fresh museum-related material. People depend on me for those jokes.
The sun rises and Ted and George are still snuggled up asleep under the tree. George yawns and wakes up. He stands and looks over at a zoo nearby. A big grin comes over George's face and he scampers off towards the zoo. Ted is still lying under the tree and talks in his sleep.
No, those are dinosaur bones. You can't park there. There's no parking here. That's my office. Oh, it's just a bad dream. Oh, boy. Monkey, where are you? Oh, no.
Ted runs over to a queue of people.
Wait, it's a zoo. The zoo's full of monkeys. Well, who's to say it's mine?
Monkey's chasing me!
That's mine.
Ted climbs up the zoo wall and jumps onto a large fake igloo. He falls through a hatch in the igloo and lands in the penguin house. Ted slides into the water and the penguins jump in with him. Visitors watch through a big window as Ted tries to swim but starts to freeze solid. Ted climbs out through a manhole.
Oh, that's cold! Oh, it's so much colder than you think! I suggest never doing that, ever! Don't ever swim with penguins! Swim with dolphins! Freezing! It's gonna be okay.
He sees George playing leapfrog with some kids.
Oh, there you are.
Maggie's looking after the kids.
Oh, Ted, hi!
Miss Maggie.
Water pours out of his hat.
Hi.
What happened to you?
Oh, it didn't rain here?
Nope, not here.
Wow, that's crazy. Freak cloudburst down the street.
George lets some balloons float away.
Please, tell me you paid for those.
So, how long have you had a monkey?
I don't. I mean, I do.
So cute.
But I really don't. Long story.
Mr. Ted, what's your monkey's name?
Yeah, what's his name?
He doesn't have a name.
He has to have a name.
No, he doesn't.
Let's give him a name.
Right. Good idea.
Please don't.
Jojo Hercules.
Ted sees a statue of George Washington.
Okay, you know what? His name's Washington.
Man, that's a dumb name.
Then call him George. How's that? Happy now?
Oh, I like George.
One of the kids pulls a face. George pulls a face back and waggles his ears. The kids give him their balloons. Ted looks sad as he leans on a railing and looks into an enclosure that's closed for repair.
What's the use?
Maggie goes over to him.
Ted, are you okay?
It's a long story, but it looks like the museum is gonna close.
Really?
I know how much you love the museum.
I do love the museum, Ted, but that's not really why I go there every week.
Yeah, I know. Everyone likes the cafeteria food. Gosh, it's good.
I've never had the cafeteria food.
Really?
Really.
So you've never had the tuna hash on Thursday?
Never.
It's really quite something.
I'll remember that.
There's also a meatless meatloaf on Monday, which is quite special.
Quite special.
Excuse me, mister. You have to help George.
George who?
George needs you.
Take a message. I'm busy.
He has an emergency.
The restrooms are behind the penguin habitat.
Mister, your monkey's floating away.
He's what?
He's
what?
George holds the balloons and floats.
Monkey! Don't be afraid. Just keep your head together and don't look down.
No, you gotta save George.
Who, me?
You!
Hurry,
okay.
Hurry, Ted, hurry! He's floating away!
I'm commandeering these balloons.
Ted grabs all the balloons he can and tries to float after George.
Here I go!
He dips down over the crocodile pit and Mia gets bitten.
Boy, glad that's over.
Now he dips into the lion enclosure and just manages to escape. George tries to hang on to his balloons.
Pay back, thank you. You don't mind, do you? Official zoo business!
Ted grabs even more balloons and floats after George.
Wait for me, monkey!
Ted bumps into some giraffes who get their necks tangled. George and Ted float higher and higher. Ted grabs a passing kite.
Sorry, I need this kite!
The kite pulls him towards George quicker.
How do you steer these things? Hang on, little fella, I'm coming!
They float over the city.
Hey, look at this! There's a high fly ball! We lost, and the curse continues.
A baseball hit Ted in the bottom as they floated over a stadium.
Monkey! Monkey! Watch out!
George floats towards spikes on a building.
Monkey, no!
The spikes burst the balloons and George starts to fall.
Watch out!
Ted runs across poles and grabs onto George.
George, whoa! Gotcha! Wow.
Ted smiles down at George. George climbs up Ted's arm and hangs onto his neck.
You're safe now, George. I've got you. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay, George. George, I like that name. It suits you.
George grins. They float over the rooftops and Ted looks down.
Hey, actually, this isn't too bad. I can't believe I'm doing this. This is awesome.
I wanna be where the water below gives a gift to the sky and the clouds give back every time they cry. Make the grass.
George gives Ted a big hug as they float over the river. Ted gives George the kite string and George hangs on as the kite pulls him forward. Ted puts his hat on George. They float over a bridge, then dive down and float underneath it. Ted waves at the boats. They float above the sails of the boats, then climb higher and soar through the clouds above the city. Find all of the pieces and put it all together, and then I'll rearrange it, I'll follow it forever. Ted points as they float high above the city.
Look, George, there's the museum!
Can you believe all those people down there are waiting to see this? Hey, here it is! Here's the giant idol, everybody! If only it was that big. Yeah, that's it, Ted. Just make it bigger. No problem. Wait, I can't make it bigger, but I know who can. George, now hand me that pink balloon and hang on! That's close enough!
Ted deflates a balloon. Clovis is studying popcorn.
Let's see, not too round. Well, this one's not round enough. Yes, perfect!
Ted crash lands outside.
I predicted this. Balloon travel finally coming back into fashion.
Clovis, I've got a problem.
Wait, just a minute. Are you returning him?
What?
Because I have a strict no return policy on any robotic animals I create. Unless, of course, you have a receipt.
What? No, Clovis, calm down. This is George. He's a real monkey.
Are you sure?
Yes. I found him in the jungle. Bark. Actually, he found me.
Bark. Well, then, George meets Sparky. Sparky, George.
A robot.
I really need your help.
You do?
Here's my problem.
I see. Oh, you're just missing the chain. I think I have an extra one right over...
No, this is the idol.
Ted, I'm not one to judge, but haven't you exaggerated its size just a wee bit?
A fridge walks over.
Thanks, Frosty.
What is that?
Nothing.
Should I be concerned?
No, not if you're behind that wall. Fire in the hole!
George, look out!
Sparky pulls George out of the way as a pressurized contraption explodes, showering the room in enormous golden chunks.
Is that popcorn?
I call it boom corn. It's for really big sleepovers with a lot of kids.
He eats some.
Not quite right.
He spits it into a bin, which explodes to another robot.
Silky, when you're done, could you,
Silky cleans the mess up.
Thank you. All right, let's see what we can do with that keychain.
Idol.
Idol, right, yes.
Silky, the robot elephant, with its vacuum cleaner nozzle trunk, blows the popcorn away. George copies Silky as it waves its trunk about. Sparky barks at a bug that's crawling along the floor. George watches it through a magnifying glass as it climbs up a trolley and onto an overhead projector. As it walks across the glass plate, George traps it under a round glass jar. The bug is magnified to several times its size. George and the robots watch as the bug is projected onto the wall. George piles more jars on top of the bug and ponders.
Here's an idea. I can make it into a snow globe, a rain globe, or...
Is that a real tornado?
Fun, huh?
Clovis, focus!
Focus, bigger, gotcha. Hey, how about something around that size? Wouldn't that work for you?
George hides as he sees the enormous projected bug on the wall.
What do you mean George made it? George, is that true?
Don't get mad at him.
Mad?
No.
I think he may have the answer to your problem.
Good work, George. Clovis, I need to borrow your truck.
My truck?
Thanks, Clove.
Be careful! Bark. What? Bark. You left your squeaky toy in the back of the truck?
At the museum.
Oh, no. What's going on? There are people lined up all around the block. I don't understand, Junior. I thought I told you to cancel the exhibit.
Me? No, Father, please. I don't think so. Look, I would have done it. You know, Father, I'm afraid this has the stink of Ted all over it. Take a whiff with me.
Yeah. Hello?
Mr. Bloomsbury? Ted here.
Ted?
How dare... Hang up, Father.
No, sir, don't
Ted,
hang up.
I can't talk.
Please.
This is
no,
really
I know.
Not a good time.
I have the solution.
Solution?
I'm sorry, did he say solution?
The exhibit can open as planned.
How is that possible?
Well, I'll explain it when I see you. All you need to know is the eagle has landed.
What?
Did
he say beagle?
No, I said the eagle has landed.
Eagle. What about the idol? Ask him about the
idol. Well, no, the idol would be the eagle.
Can't start over.
It's not a big deal. I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Okay, fine. Hurry.
In the back of the truck, George hits a button on the overhead projector and dances in front of the lens. A gigantic image of himself is projected onto the road behind the truck. Cars swerve all over the road to avoid him, and people on the street scream in horror as they see the enormous monkey strolling along. The doorman faints as a projected foot treads on him.
You get out of your way! Man on a mission here!
As the truck turns a corner, George falls over, his image seeming to disappear into the road.
I'm seeing multiple violations of rules of the road! Multiple violations!
George stands up again. The taxi driver is with two passengers.
Yeah, 40-foot monkey causing unintentional widespread panic. Seen it.
The passengers take photographs. In the truck, George swipes at a bug. The image is projected onto a building. He looks like King Kong swiping at an aeroplane.
Traffic is crazy. I'm gonna get off Broadway and try 6.
George holds onto the truck, his legs flying out behind him as it turns a corner.
Hey! There are lines painted on the street for a reason! Oh yeah? Well, that's not physically possible for me to do, so there! George, take that license plate number down, quickly!
George turns the projector off.
George, what are you thinking? Tighten your seatbelt! Every nutcase in the city is on the road today!
There's a huge traffic jam.
Wow, Junior's right. There is a parking problem in the city.
Later at the museum.
Mr. Bloomsbury! Mr. Bloomsbury!
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's it. Get that little jungle thing out of here before he destroys something else.
Hold on there, son. Ted, what is this contraption?
Stand back, everyone, and prepare to be amazed.
Oh, yeah. This ought to be good.
Here, George, let's show him. Small idol.
A large image of the idol appears on the stage.
Big idol!
Isn't that thing awesome?
Uh-huh.
What is it?
I see.
Daddy, I'm scared.
Interesting.
I don't like it.
We optically enlarged the statue. Yes, I suppose this might work. Yes, this will definitely work.
Well, sir, the credit really should go to George. He gave me the idea as we were floating over the city.
Floating?
You know what? I'll tell you about it some other time.
Excuse me. Hi, Voice of Reason. Like to introduce myself? Hello? Are we so desperate that we'll lie to our public?
Nonsense. We promised the people something awe-inspiring, and we're giving it to them. Thanks to Ted and George. I knew you wouldn't let me down.
Well, sir, I gotta tell you, I came pretty close.
No, Ted, I am so proud of you. You're like the son I never had.
Father, I'm your son, remember?
Yes, but I had you. Ted, this is amazing.
Yes, of course. What was I thinking?
Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Isn't that cool? Can you believe it?
Junior pours coffee into the projector.
Hey, monkey. Monkey, want a sip? Go on, take it. Yummy. Creamy. Yes, good. Drink it. Say, I guess the world didn't need another parking lot after all. Hey, you did it. Another great Ted moment.
Thank you.
We've got nobody to thank but you.
The image suddenly flickers and melts. Ted, Junior, and Bloomsbury all turn to see George downing the coffee. George stares wide-eyed as the overhead projector starts to quake. He's thrown off the trolley as it explodes. Ted hurries over.
George! What did you do?
Oh, Ted, I warned you about that monkey.
You don't give a monkey a latte?
And now he's gone and destroyed the last chance we had of saving my father's museum. It's my father's only museum. What have you done, Ted? What have you done?
You're right, Ted. We've just been fooling ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Agreed.
But, sir, I still think we could...
Ted, I said it's over.
It's okay, Father. It's okay. I'm here. Your son. Your real son. Junior. Not Ted. Yes, Father, you'll be fine.
Ted stares sadly after the departing Bloomsbury. George holds the idol up to Ted. Ted takes it and makes his way towards the entrance door. George follows.
No, George. You just stay here, okay? I have to do this.
Ted steps outside where a crowd of spectators is waiting. George runs over to a window and watches as Ted takes off his hat and addresses them.
Excuse me!
The smiling crowd look at him expectantly.
I'm...
Ted spots Maggie staring up at him. He frowns.
I'm sorry, everybody. The museum's closed.
Maggie gapes, wide-eyed.
But for how long?
Forever.
But I want to see the giant idol.
There never was one. It was all a big mistake.
You've been waiting for hours.
Ted slumps his shoulders and hangs his head glumly as the frowning spectators start to leave. Maggie stands watching him sadly. Ted walks down the museum steps to meet her.
I'm so sorry.
The schoolchildren wave at Maggie from their bus.
I have to go. I'll be back. I promise.
Clutching his hat in front of him, Ted slumps down onto the museum steps. George climbs down towards him and crawls onto Ted's lap. He hugs Ted's right arm and places Ted's hand upon his head.
It's too late to cheer me up. You think life's just non-stop fun and games, don't you? Well, it's not, George. At least not for me.
George takes the hat off Ted and starts to play peekaboo with it.
George, please just leave me alone. You're better off without me. This is not good. You and me, you belong in the jungle. I belong somewhere without a monkey. I can't have you in my life. Please, just go. Do you understand? No! Look, monkey, don't follow me.
George watches Ted go mournfully.
Get away!
Suddenly, a net is thrown over George.
Got him!
Easy, easy. Get the cage ready. Careful, he's dangerous.
Hey, hey, not so rough.
Stand back, sir. I know he looks cute, but this one's supposed to have teeth like Kinzu knives.
Yeah, that's right. This matches the description.
Hey, he's getting away.
All right, I got him.
Guys, could you just take him?
Careful, watch his teeth.
Please. And don't hurt him.
Relax, little fella. Back to Africa with you.
Ted watches the animal control truck drive away.
It's for the best, Ted. It's for the best.
Troll truck and gears inside. George looks up despondently. The man picks up the cage and places it on top of a stack of crates, which are then hooked up to a crane.
All right, come on, take it away.
An unhappy-looking George stares out through the bars of his cage as the load is swung into the hold of a large ocean liner. His shoulders slumped, Ted walks along a street. He passes the illuminated window of the Outback clothing shop and stares at his reflection in the window. He has a flashback of George wearing his hat.
Peekaboo. Peekaboo. A-boo. A-boo.
The two startled shop workers pop up from behind the dummy.
Ah, George. He loved peekaboo.
You think he saw us?
His head bent low, Ted walks slowly down the street. He comes across a red balloon and stares at his reflection in its shiny surface. Ted has a flashback. He's holding a multitude of balloons and soaring over the city, George clinging onto him tightly. The memory fades and Ted smiles.
Man, what a ride.
Ted walks off.
Hey, that's mine!
With the balloon, Ted passes a workman painting a wall and stares into a can of gold paint. He remembers George tipping paint into his plush bottom's bath.
Without you, I was broken, but I'd rather be broke down with you by my side.
Ted puts a hand into the paint.
He loved the primary colors.
And hand prints the wall.
Hey, no, that's brush paint. That's brush paint, sir. Painted. No, come on. Quit time.
George comes to a crossroads and sees a group of people crowded around something in a window.
George?
A crowd of people watch George jump up and down.
How'd you get out?
Ted runs across the road. It's news footage of the projected George causing mayhem earlier.
George? So that's why traffic was so bad. George. Those were some good times. We had some fun, didn't we?
The little girl has taken the balloon.
Thank you.
George spots a guy in a monkey suit handing out flyers. He runs over and hugs him.
Sir, I'm only passing out flyers, not hugs.
Ted, I've been looking for you. Is everything okay?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, sure. Why? Why?
Well, you are hugging a man dressed in a monkey costume.
Kind of tight, I might add. Good luck with that, Phil. Great to see you again. Yeah, you too.
Remember, the sale ends Thursday.
So after they took him away, I've been wandering the streets, and you saw me hugging a man in a monkey outfit. That pretty much catches you up. I can't believe George is gone, and it's all my fault.
Yes, it is.
What?
Ted, do you want me to tell you what you want to hear, or do you want to hear what you should hear, which I'll tell you, and not just what you think you want to hear?
Run that by me one more time?
George is gone, and I'm afraid it's your fault he's gone. So the question is, what are you going to do about it?
George looks down thoughtfully, then looks up at Maggie with a smile.
You're right. It is my fault. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a date with a monkey.
He turns back.
You know that I don't have a date with a monkey. It was just my way of saying that I'm going after George.
Ted.
Right. Bye.
The ship is moored up on the dockside. A man wheels the cage with George in it into the cargo hold. George looks up sadly as the hatch in the roof of the hold is closed and the ship glides away from the dockside. Ted drives towards the docks in his red car, then stops as he sees the ship heading out to sea.
Oh no, I'm too late. Or am I? Luckily, movies have taught me exactly what to do in this situation. Kids, don't try this at home.
He does up his seatbelt.
Here we go!
Ted races down a hill at top speed. He changes into higher and higher gears as he crashes through the dock gates and jumps the car off the end of the jetty.
What am I doing? This isn't a movie! It's real!
Ted's car splashes into the water. He climbs out of the car window and stands on the roof. He's actually landed in a ship's swimming pool, and lots of wet passengers stare at him.
Huh. This is odd. You guys are a little dressed up for a cargo ship to Africa, don't you think?
He looks round to see the ship with George on it passing by.
Excuse me. I'm coming for you!
Ted jumps over the railing of the passenger ship and into the sea. He grabs onto the anchor of the cargo ship as it's hauled up out of the water. He calls through a porthole.
George! George!
Ted hangs onto the swinging anchor and knocks on the porthole window. In the cargo hold, George lies miserably in his cage as a rat scampers over and steals his banana. Ted swings the anchor into the porthole, smashing the glass.
George!
Ted climbs into the cargo hold and jumps down off some crates.
Where are you? George, are you here?
He looks around.
I think you're here! George!
George hears him and shakes his cage with a grin. Ted runs over.
George! There you are! Stand back, buddy.
Ted breaks the lock with a fire extinguisher and George jumps on him.
George, give me a hug, you little furball. There. You're all right. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know how I let them take you away. I mean, I do.
He takes out the statue.
This was so important to me. Somehow it just doesn't matter anymore. What matters is you and me, buddy. Our buddyship. Now we can do all the monkey things we've always wanted to do. I'll get an organ and grind, and you can dance for money. Or I can dance for money. Who knows? We'll figure it out. We can take turns. George, do you mind? I mean, expressing some feelings here, it's kind of hard, okay? Now, where was I? Right, who's gonna dance? No, adventure! You brought adventure to my life. And now, you know, that's all that matters.
Sunlight through the statue throws an image of the real statue onto a crate.
Wait, where's that coming from? It's a pictogram.
George picks up the little ape statue.
George, it's the map! We had it all along! Of course! Turn your eye to the light, go from blindness to sight. I was supposed to hold the statue up to the sun.
The sunlight makes a map.
Pack your things, George. We're off to Africa on the very next ship. Wait a minute. We're already on a ship to Africa. Oh, man, what a time saver.
Ted treks through the jungle with George on his shoulder. George holds up the statue and the sunlight makes a map on Edu's back.
Okay, Edu, I got it.
Ted spots the huge real statue covered in leaves.
That's it! You did it, George! Give me five! That's close enough!
Well done, Mr. Ted.
This way, men. Follow me. The guy in yellow.
Let's go.
Back in New York, large banners saying, finally, Sagawa, hang outside the museum, and hundreds of people queue to get in. Miss Ploshbottom gets out of the limousine, and Junior runs over to her wearing a red cap and waistcoat.
Here I am, please. Valet at your service.
We've been waiting.
Sorry. Here his parking lot is 5 blocks away.
I know, I own that parking lot. That's where the real money is.
I know.
Behold the eighth wonder of the world! The Lost Shrine of Sagawa!
The crowd gasp at the huge statue. The taxi driver stands among them.
Okay, now that I haven't seen. But now I've seen it.
The taxi driver saunters off. Ted comes on stage and flicks through his large speech.
As I stand in front of the lost idol of Sagawa, I just have one important thing to say. Anyone can memorize facts and figures. The real way to learn anything is to go out and experience it and let your curiosity lead you.
George jumps onto him.
Hi. So who's ready to learn?
Curtains open, showing exciting exhibits.
Wow, it's beautiful! Remarkable.
I've never seen anything like
this. Ted beckons to Maggie, who knocks down the rope barrier.
Come on, this way! Don't be shy!
The kids run to the exhibits. On one of them, they get to paint like George.
Oh, this is so exhilarating! You know, Timmy, I have an original George in my penthouse.
That looks just like... Ivan!
Wait.
Ted runs from Ivan.
Ted! Over here!
There you are, 710B.
Boy, you're light on your feet for a big man.
I must admit, your monkey shows real talent.
He's quite the artist.
So I am taking back kicking you from building.
Oh, that's great, Ivan.
No hard feelings. Oh, George, you're just so cute. I think he likes me.
Junior comes in.
I parked all the cars, Father.
Good job, son.
Really? A good job. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Hug time.
There, my boy.
Hug your son.
It's okay.
Tighter.
It's okay.
Yes.
Daddy's here.
Hold me.
George and the kids climb a wall. Clovis has got a ray gun type machine.
What is that?
I'm not one to brag, but I call it the Magnificator.
A girl's projected big.
Say, have you seen Sparky?
Sparky!
And I am happy to say that because of Ted...
Sir, George, don't forget George.
And George, of course, we are not going anywhere. The Bloomsbury Museum is here to stay!
George and some kids are using a mechanical elephant to blow up balloons. One of the balloons floats away, and George climbs up to the next floor to catch it. George turns and sees the open doorway of a space rocket in front of him. George stares into the rocket and lets go of the balloon. Ted and Mr. Bloomsbury are on the stage.
All right, all right. Last question.
Ted, where will you and George go for your next adventure? The Arctic, South America, Egypt?
You know, you don't need to go around the world for a great adventure. I have a lot of things to catch up on right here.
Really?
Really.
Mr. George!
I know, he's cute. Lovable.
Very cute. Very lovable.
Yeah, well, he's also in that rocket.
It's okay. There's no fuel in it.
Ted and Maggie smile at each other, then see the rocket glowing.
Clovis, you didn't put fuel in that rocket, did you?
Maybe.
Oh, no!
I see a rocket with empty fuel tanks. What am I supposed to do?
Ted jumps into the rocket.
George, wait!
Maggie looks up at the rocket as it takes off.
Careful, Ted! Hurry back!
Okay, but once around the Earth, and then straight home. You hear me? Okay, I've got plans tonight.
Ted and George wear astronaut suits. The rocket leaves Earth's atmosphere and heads off into outer space.
Gosh. No, George, I'm not letting you drive. Just sit back and... No, George, don't push that button. I don't know what it does. George.
George hits the button and the rocket whizzes around the Earth.
That is a surge of adrenaline. Oh, I'm gonna sleep good tonight.
ITFC audio description was written by Jennifer Hill and Alan Blyton and read by Lonnie Evans.
Be fair. I'll share this love I find with everyone. We'll sing and dance to Mother Nature's songs. I don't want this feeling to be a thing, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find with everyone. We'll sing and dance to Mother Nature's song. This world keeps spinning and there's no time to waste. Well, it all keeps spinning, spinning round and round and upside down. Who's to say what's impossible and can't be found? I don't want this feeling to go away. I didn't know what I was looking for, so I didn't know what I'd find. I didn't know what I was missing. I guess you've been just a little too kind. And if I find just what I need, put a little peace in my mind. Maybe you've been looking too, or maybe you don't even need to try. Without you I was broken, and I'd rather be broke down with you by my. I was broken, but I'd rather be broke down with you by my side. With everything in the past fading faster and faster until it was gone. Found out I was losing so much more.